moving along. The weather is getting colder. It's the sun is going down at like 5:15 p.m.
Except for you, Southern Hemisphere people.
Yeah. It's November. November 7th. Saturday, November 7th. Welcome to PHP BB Weekly. Episode number 127 for Saturday, November 7th, 2009. The podcast where, in addition to ranting about the weather, we talk all about the PHP BB Weekly. For PHP BB bulletin board software at phpbb.com. It's probably the weirdest and most botched up intro I have ever done for this show. I have your co-host Douglas Bell from Washington, D.C.
And David Lewis from Washington State.
There you go. And this has been the craziest thing about this past week, David. Those of us in the U.S. and Canada, daylight savings time ended on Sunday. So it gets dark an hour earlier. And the thing is, see, in D.C., I'm on the eastern part of the eastern time zone. When I was in San Fran, I was on the western part of the western time zone. So now the sun goes down at like 5:15 p.m. And it's not even close to the winter solstice yet. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, do you think that's early? Here it goes down before 4:30.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, we're so far north, so much further north, that during the winter it will be setting around 3:30.
I don't.
In the afternoon.
I don't envy you then. I don't know. It's weird for me because it comes up earlier in the morning than it would in San Fran, I guess. I don't know because I sleep in all the time over here now. But yeah, I'm just not used to it because, you know, during the winter solstice, probably the earliest the sun will go down, maybe like just around a little before 6 o'clock. And now it's like 5:15 and it's still November. Although I do tell people that, you know, back home during the week before daylight savings time ends, then you end up going to school in the dark because the sun doesn't come up till like 7:40. Of course, I'm sure you have the same thing there too, because, right, your sun comes up later.
Yes. Well, we only get, I can't remember exactly how much daylight we get, but it's, you know, during the summer, you know, it's setting at like 10 p.m.
Yeah.
And then during the winter, it sets around 3 p.m. So, the sun dramatically changes. That's why I hate daylight savings time going away, because we lose an extra hour in addition to the very little light that we actually get.
I wonder if I'll ever have an opportunity to swing by Washington.
You will.
Eventually. We'll figure something out. Anyway, let's actually talk about what we were supposed to be talking about on this show on PHP Weekly. Although I did mention, I saw, you remember a few weeks ago when we had Bernard Maldonado of Celona on?
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things we said was, you know, is, for those who haven't heard, you know, it's a service where volunteers help solve CAPTCHAs for individuals who are visually impaired. And we said, you know, if you have time, why don't you go do that? Now, I'd love to practice what I preach, although I go to this place called a university, so I barely have enough time to get our own episodes released in timely fashion, much less be able to do CAPTCHAs. But David, you are apparently an active operator for Celona.
Yes.
Along with and you apparently along with Michael Williams, better known as M to the Eichel, apparently released some kind of a Mac widget for Celona.
Yeah, actually, Michael created the widget for Celona, and so what we had them do was create an RSS feed on their site that would basically allow our widget to pull, you know, every few seconds to figure out if there was a widget, and then we use the growl notification method to notify us if there's a new CAPTCHA. Because the way that they had it set was basically, you know, you had to have a browser window open and then it would blink black and white, and then you had to be able to see that, and if you didn't see it, you didn't know there was a new CAPTCHA. So this made it a little bit easier with the notification method, so that was really nice. And so both Michael and I are pullers most of the day, and then also my brother Hank the Cowdog also is a Celona operator. Mm-hmm. So, and it with the widget, it makes it really, really easy for any Mac user to be a Celona puller. So now if I get notification of a CAPTCHA, it takes me from the time I see the notification to the time I solve it and close the window is about 7 or 8 seconds.
Mm. When you say widget, it's like a dashboard widget?
Dashboard widget, yeah, that's right. Nice. Dashboard widget, and it uses the ground notification. Because then, the ground notification just tells you, and then open the dashboard, click on the CAPTCHA window, and you go solve it, and then that's it.
Now, since you're actually working, using Celonix, is this the kind of thing where you are assigned a CAPTCHA by the system, or is it like first person to solve this CAPTCHA, go?
First person to solve this CAPTCHA, go. So we actually kind of have races throughout the day to see who can solve the most CAPTCHAs as quickly as possible.
So are there times like where you're in the middle of solving a CAPTCHA and all of a sudden it goes, poof, it's already been solved?
Well, yes, that can happen, especially if you're like, what numbers and letters are those? And you take just a little bit longer than the other person, then that CAPTCHA is already solved because somebody else solved it before you did. But it's great. You know, there's not too many of them, so I'm able to work all day and solve them at the same time, which is really nice. You know,
are you solving them during the show now?
Well, yeah, it's active during the show. So
it's on now because like right before the show the site said off and now it's on.
Yeah, they made it automatic. So if I turn my widget on and the site automatically switches on, cool. It recognizes that I'm pulling, or that somebody is pulling.
Are you the only one right now? Do you not? Know?
I don't know. It used to show, but he took that off because he didn't want it so that when people logged on, they say, "Oh, somebody's already pulling and would leave." But I assume I'm the only one on there right now since it was off a bit ago and now it's on. So I must be the only one on there right now. But it's kind of nice because at any time I can just I don't want to pull anymore and I stop pulling, or if I want to pull, then I can start pulling again. Because it's not, they don't care how much time you spend with it.
Yeah,
it's like do it in your while you're browsing the internet with your computer. It's easy. You can do it whenever you want, and you don't have to do it whenever you don't want.
There you go. So now, whenever we hear on the show, if David takes like unusually long to answer a question, let's assume every awkward silence on the show is because David's doing a CAPTCHA. Chances are that's not the case, but just assume that.
Yeah, it usually takes a while. If it's been off, it usually will take a while before I'll get one in. But there's really, there's not too many. Right now, we're actually trying to get them to post a stats page so that we can see who has solved the most CAPTCHAs in a day, in the week, and in the month.
Oh, what's the prize going to be?
I don't know. We haven't seen the stats yet.
Free,
so we don't.
Free eye exams?
Yeah, I tell you what, there's some the most difficult CAPTCHAs I've had to solve have included the PHPBB3GD CAPTCHA.
There you go.
Yeah, that has been some of the most challenging CAPTCHAs to solve. Some of the easiest ones to solve are, of course, the reCAPTCHA ones, because, they're words. So even though if you can't see a single letter, that's okay because you know what the word is. Usually.
It's heck of a lot easier to solve in their audio one. I tried to solve their audio one. I did it about 10 times. Mm-hmm. I had a 0% success rate.
Oh, wow. Impressive.
I don't know what words they want me to put in. Because they give you a whole bunch of them. And how are you supposed to, it says, enter the words you hear. It's okay if you don't get all of them, but enter them.
Yeah.
Well, I got almost all of them each time, never once liked it, so I don't know how the heck it's going to work. We should probably, if we were a legitimate, objective news organization, we would probably send an email to reCAPTCHA asking them to explain themselves in order to defend themselves, but we don't have time.
We have contacted reCAPTCHA for comments.
We have attempted to contact reCAPTCHA for comment, but we couldn't figure out how to solve their CAPTCHA in order to comment them.
Their audio CAPTCHA. Their visual CAPTCHA is good.
reCAPTCHA is nice. I still use them for everything. So.
And I tell you, it's kind of fascinating in some aspects because you have people who can't see, they're taking screenshots of their screen and then delivering them to you. And so sometimes they will have the CAPTCHAs just out of the screen. So it's kind of funny. And so they have all these automated replies that you put on there. The CAPTCHA is below the screen window. Please scroll up, recapture, and resubmit. So it's pretty easy to.
Make. We don't spend too much more time on this, but at this point, if someone wants to get going with it, do they still have to contact the reCAPTCHA folks, or can they just download your widget and go?
No, they would still have to contact the reCAPTCHA folks because they have to register, and then he has to set them as an op, and then that's it. Then they would just contact us for a widget if they're a Mac user. If they're a Windows user, then you know you just use their normal method.
Which is,
you know, just have their browser window open, and when there's a new captcha, it will blink black and white.
Okay.
But there's an RSS feed now, which means that somebody could go and actually create a widget for, you know, like Windows 7 or Windows.
Gadgets. They're totally different.
Yes. Widgets, the other is gadgets.
Yes.
Two different things.
Yeah, just like Aqua versus Arrow, totally different. Anyway, before we get into too much trouble, let's move on. Because I didn't think, I mean, I noticed this the other day. I didn't think it was story worthy, but I had like five people in IRC say you have to talk about this as a story. PHPBB.com, the main navigation menu, you know, the about, downloads, customize, support, blah, 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 now have submenus that appear when you hover over them. Wow.
Yeah, and this was something that was actually planned quite a while back, you know, because it was, you know, when hosting and I believe it was hosting and blog were added to the menu, everybody started to go, well, wait a minute, you know, our menu is getting crowded and why is hosting there? Yeah, and
it's still there, by the way.
Yes, it is. You know, a lot of people are like, why is it there?
Because it's like
okay, well, it makes sense because, you know, they're the advertisers. But then
yeah.
Other people were like, well, yeah, but it looks like we're promoting these advertisers, that sort of thing. So, but anyway, the issue that came up was, well, there are a lot of navigation items. And, you know, it's like when you go to customize, you're talking about styles and modifications and, you know, and in one menu item, and it doesn't really make sense. So, you know, the idea was, okay, well, let's create a new menu item. Well, at that time, that was quite a while back. At that time, I think it was DHN who was a jQuery fan, and he said, "Well, use jQuery." You know, I didn't know anything about jQuery at the time. Well, I wish I did, but because now I use jQuery for everything, and I do mean everything.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. But that's what they use. That's what they've used on
that. That's right. I still need to try to get the jQuery guy on the show. I haven't gotten around to that. You said that we were going to do that during
summer.
That's
John Rezig, right?
I don't know.
Yes, that would, you know, that's the main jQuery. There's a, you know, this is a jQuery team. There's a team of people, but
yeah, of course.
But he's the main guy.
I'll give that a try. We were going to do that over summer, but you know, I was busy with a certain long distance move then, and I forgot.
And by the way, I just solved a captcha while I was talking to you.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'll say this. First, two comments I have about this. First of all, I thought it was kind of interesting because of the way they did these. It's not your normal just sort of menu of links. You got sort of a two-column menu that shows up with very large links that you can click on and hover over,
mm-hmm.
along with short descriptions. And on some of them, they even have other, you know, find out more links, which actually don't do anything other than take you to the exact same page. But like, you know, more info on the project, more info on support. So it's found out to get even more involved. So there's quite a bit there for each of them.
Yeah, one of the things that I actually like, my favorite link is in the about section, the team. Find out who is responsible for all the mayhem.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but it does give out, you know, five or six of the most important links within a certain menu item. And I mean, you have customized, so you have two modification links, three styles links. You have the styles database styles and the styles demo, and then of course the development wiki under customize. So there's everything like that. That, you know, that makes it a little bit nicer. It's very professional looking. It looks exactly like the screenshot they proposed. So
here's the other thing I like about it.
Get it?
Is that a lot of the stuff on when this site came out in 2007, a lot of the places for people got to go involved a lot of clicks.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you want to get to the mod database, you have to click on customize, you have to click on modifications, you have to click on modifications database, and then here you are finally at the mods database. You want to download PHPBB, you go to downloads, you click on download stable release, and then all of a sudden it takes you to yet another page listing the packages.
Mm-hmm.
Why there's two separate downloads pages, I will never know. But now these submenus will take you directly to the pages you want to go if you want to get if you know where you're going. And the other thing I like, finally, events gets a link at the top under community. Yay for that.
Yeah, that's good. You know, that'll draw a little bit more attention to that. So that's great. That has been kind of one issue that I've had with PHPBB overall, and not the actual phpbb.com site, but PHPBB 3, and the fact that sometimes to go somewhere and do something, it takes a lot of clicks. You know, it's not just, you know, because everything really by usability standards, everything should be accessible within 2 clicks. You know, 3 is really stretching it. But if you go beyond that, that's kind of crazy. But sometimes you have things like, you know, I want to perform an action. Are you sure you want to perform this action? Well, yes, I'm sure I want to perform this action. Why did we have to load a whole new page to ask me that question?
Yeah, totally.
And then you have successfully performed this action and go back to the previous page. Well, why didn't you just take me back to the previous page? Well, you know, of course, there's reasons for all of that, but they can still be solved. But that's the kind of thing that there's navigation issues, especially with the moderator control panel. But a lot of that they're also solving in the next release, 3.0.6, as far as, you know, like the banning goes. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be where you'd have to jump through a lot of hoops, and you still do have to jump through quite a few hoops, but they are at least making them fewer to ban someone. So
I guess what I would say, this kind of came to mind, is I would maybe, now that they've done this on the site, I'd almost like to see them do this a bit in PHPBB itself, like the control panels. You know, you have sort of the double sets of tabs. If I need to go and change the fact that it is no longer daylight savings time, I have to go to once I get to user control panel, I have to click on board preferences. Then I guess it's right there. But if I wanted to change display options, there's a second click. If you know what I mean, I think maybe get some submenus. You're doing captures, aren't you?
No, I'm not actually tweeting the fact that we're live right now.
Hey, that's a nice idea. Yeah, well, I forgot about that. You have to go to multiple places, and same is true in the admin control panel and I assume the moderator control panel. So maybe we can see some other submenus get into the actual product in the future.
I doubt it. I really doubt that those submenus will actually appear in the in the product itself. I'm glad to see them on phpbb.com, but that sort of thing is really going to be up to, you know, site administrators if they want to modify it. There are some styles that do change a lot of, you know, that make stuff more accessible, make links a little bit more accessible. You have a lot of different styles within PHP 3. They're really just replicating the existing code, changing the look. That's it. Changing color or changing look. Then some styles actually change the usability of the product, and those are nice to see because they actually took the time to adjust the HTML and make a unique style.
There you go. So I don't know. We'll see. I just, that's one thing I do like about WordPress. You can set it to where everything's like little pop up submenus, so you really can get anywhere in just one click.
Mm-hmm.
In the thing. So I've always liked that.
Yeah, and you know, who's to say that won't come out in like PHPBB 4?
In which decade will that happen during?
Well, you know, the development, of course, is changing. So we aren't going to see 3.2 in the way that we previously were going to see it. You know, much of that's going to be now PHPBB 4. It's kind of funny. At LondonVision, talking with the developers, they really wanted to see 3.2 released by, you know, within 2 years. But that was, what? A little over a year ago. And so we're heading into the next 6 months that would make it 2 years.
We're still in the thick of 3.0.6, which really ought to be 3.1.
Yes, it really ought to be. And I think they realized that too, because when they changed the whole development structure, that it's changed midway during 3.0.6. Well, you can't change 3.0.6 to 3.1 when you've already promised 3.0.6 like that. But there's, you know, basically they're saying, well, if this was...
It changed 2.2 to 3.0.
You know, if this, yeah, this had happened after we made this change, then 3.0.6 would be 3.1. But yeah, the biggest thing right now, we want to see 3.0.6 released, because when was 3.0.5 released? Do you remember?
May 31.
May 31. So it's been
5 months and a week.
5 months and 1 week.
Yep.
And 1 day. And that's a pretty good amount of time. They did, you know, they said 2 to 3 months till it's released. They actually got the first RC within 3 months, so that was nice. But now it's been 2 more months, and we've seen 3 RCs. It's certainly understandable why.
Because, like I said, this thing really ought to be a 3.1. That's that. The fact that there's so many RCs is probably why it ought to be 3.1.
Yes, exactly. It's proving why, and you know
it's that big.
3.0.6. It really goes to, you know, it takes a lot of what should have been, and it makes it what it is, and really a fantastic product for bulletin board. Someone who wants to start a bulletin board, and I look on Twitter, and people are looking for certain things. It'll go 3.0.6 really matches their needs well. Problem is, it's an RC4. What are you telling them to do? Well, go install the RC.
Go ahead. It's going to be out soon. We'll probably be covering it next week.
There is good news with that. With this release, even though it's a massive release, the updater is much better.
Yay!
It's much more efficient. You know, they spent a good amount of time on it, just making it that much better.
Whenever the 3.0.7 comes out, you get to experience that wonderful updater, right?
Yes. Well, yeah. Unless you, you can use the code from the 3.0.6. You know, because it's a file that handles the upgrades, and you can use that to upgrade your 3.0.5 to 3.0.6.
I did see that in the chat room. Does the Nova restates a quote from Bone Life for every time a nub asks when 3.0.6 will be released, another RC will emerge. I'd almost believe that now. Well,
yes.
I guess since we are talking about it, you might as well hit on the fact that, yeah, RC4 did come out. I had tweeted on our PHP Weekly Twitter the day when Acid Burn said on the Subversion repository that looks like we're going to have an RC4. A short RC4, but it did. It came out last Sunday. And it's really a bunch of fixes.
It's mostly regression fixes. And, you know, so that sort of thing is being resolved in RC4. There's still some more fixes that have been coming through recently. So will we see an RC5? I sure hope not.
Well, I haven't seen very many changes to the Subversion repository in the past week.
There was actually two today. Two today.
I said I hadn't seen any. I haven't been looking.
Okay, so well, let's see. Well, when was RC4 released?
Sunday, the 1st.
The 1st, okay. Since then, there have been 7 commits.
All right, anything big?
No, not really.
Good.
pretty small stuff.
I always love when we get to the point when we're glad that nothing big is being added to PHPBB because it goes to show we're impatient.
Yes.
Normally we love it when great big stuff gets added to PHPBB. This time, no, we are so tired of talking about it.
Yeah, we are. we've beat this horse for a while,
David. I think if we can summarize our 2009 episodes in one sentence, it would be captures, security, and 3.0.6. That's all we've talked about. That's it.
Yeah.
This whole year. That's all. Go.
Well, today we're going to change that a little bit, aren't we?
No.
We're still talking about 3.0.6, but we've got some other
things. There's a lot of releases that came out. And we can just keep buzzing through. Your former baby, UMIL, got its first post, one of the post, whatever. It got 1.0.1 released last Friday. The spooky edition. Because I had been betting that 3.0.6 would get a spooky name coming out on Halloween. Instead, we got UMIL that came out. So I wasn't wrong. There was still a Halloween release of something.
Yeah, and of course, UML 1.0.1 adds one of the features which I really felt were missing in a previous UML version, and that is the ability to specify where a module will appear. It had been where when you would add modules within UML, it came out with a pretty strange order. I don't remember exactly which order it was. Maybe it was alphabetic, but it never came out in the order that you would try and specify. And so now you can. Now you could specify exactly where you want the modules to appear, i.e. before or after a certain module. Then there's some changes and a few fixes, like 4 or 5 fixes and 3 changes. Obviously, they're no longer using the SQL create table function in DBTools. It still has bugs.
And you said you didn't want to read the change logs today.
Hey, I'm summarizing.
There you go.
So anyway, some fairly, you know, it's a fairly small release, but it is, you know, it's definitely nice to have. And
I like that for these things, like ModX and UMIL, you know, if you want to fix it, throw in the new folder. That's it. You're done.
Yeah, it really is. I would
assume that the mod team would also be doing repacks where they can just easily do that for mods that have already been submitted to the database.
Yeah, and as nice as UMIL is, there's one thing that drives me crazy with it. It must reside within the PHPBB directory. It cannot install from anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, that can be annoying at times. So what I'm actually going through and rewriting a bit of it to ensure it can run from anywhere, which will be nice for things like the CMS that I'm creating, WSB CMS, which will actually be active by the end of next week on a site. So can't wait for that.
Oh, boy. We both have some big projects happening this week then.
We do, yes. Mm-hmm. I have quite a few, actually.
Oh, David, get your life back. That's the only reason you still do the show, I think, because it gets you away from all this coding.
Yeah, as soon as I left the mod team, I got my life back. No, really, actually, because although being on the mod team was fantastic, really, it took a bit of time. And basically leaving and coming back into the normal community enabled me to do a lot of the projects that I was not able to do while being on the teams because so much time was spent with them. So now I've got a lot more work into some projects now that will benefit the community as a whole. I think benefit more of the community than if I was on the mod team. So,
but the mod team still needs validators. It's still an important job. It still does benefit the community. So yeah. They need validators. No, join the
junior. They have, of course, they have the junior validators.
Yeah.
And actually, there's quite a few people who have applied for junior validation. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they find that they need additional junior validators, they will probably poke those people who have applied. And, I know there's a couple people.
Far cry from the days when, like, every month you would see, mod team, is spots open, send a PM to Eric with your application.
Yeah, and of course we've seen several junior validators become mod team members since they started the junior validator program, so it's been very successful, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, and hopefully we'll kind of see that happen with the junior developers, too. Hopefully.
Let's take a look at another release from another team, the RC3 now of the support toolkit. Now, this has not yet hit 1.0 status yet, although when the RC2 came out a few months ago, they did say that it was now going to be officially supported.
Yes.
Officially supported for support, I guess. So this just is there's two new additions, a couple of fixes. For compatibility, one is a compatibility to make it work with UMIL.
Yes, the new UMIL, of course, would break the existing support toolkit.
Ouch.
So if you use the support toolkit, you need to update that as well if you've updated UMIL, which you should do. But download both. The support toolkit is a very useful tool, and you really should grab it. If you don't have it already, go check it out at least. So, mm-hmm.
So the RC3 looks like
fully supported.
Let's take a look at the new additions. One is adding the ability to mass demote founders through the list founders tool. So now you don't just kill founders one at a time. You can do them all at once.
Yes. Whether that's...
David sounds like the useful? Evil laugh.
Well, yes, because I'm going, okay, when is that going to be useful? Okay, sure.
Maybe when someone decides that they are sick of an oligarchy and want a dictatorship.
Yeah, and of course...
Kill all the other co-founders.
Yeah. Item number two on that list is resync users with newly registered users group, which is coming in
3.0.6.
Obviously,
I was going to ask if that was already a feature, as we talked about that so long ago. I thought it was a part of PHPBB already.
Yeah, it seems like it, because it's been a while since we discussed all this stuff since RC1 was released.
But I take it since we subscribed, the newly registered users group is like a group of users that have up to X number of posts when they're newly registered, is my understanding?
Yes. It's like, for example, if your first one or two posts may require approval, which is a great way to stop spam.
Yes.
And there's various other things that you can do with the newly registered users group that is really, really beneficial. And that's what makes 3.0.6 such a great tool, I think, for combating spam, because CAPTCHAs aren't going to do it anymore. I mean, you have services in India, basically, that say, we will solve like 1,000 CAPTCHAs for a few dollars.
It's like Celona for spammers.
Exactly, yes. And, they're just solving thousands of CAPTCHAs. And so spammers use those tools quite a bit. So they can register on 1,000 sites, and it only costs them very little to have those CAPTCHAs solved automatically. Well, not automatically. People are actually solving them, but there's so many people in India. And what's happened is now, we're not just dealing with spam bots anymore. Although those are a problem, and the fact that CAPTCHAs are becoming easier and easier to read for software, then you're making it more difficult for humans to actually read it. So CAPTCHAs can no longer be relied on as a really good source of stopping all spam. It will stop a lot of spam, and they're still necessary, but to stop the rest that gets through, You still need other methods of catching the content that's been posted. And you have, like, WordPress has a Kismet.
Which is awesome, by the way.
Yes, and that is...
I don't find it quite... Because it's sort of tuned to comment spam, so getting it to sort of work with the type of content you'll see on forums is a little more iffy, but certainly for using it for, like, comment forums.
Mm-hmm.
A blessing.
Yes, and of course you have, I should release a mod. I actually have a mod that's designed to catch certain words from somebody in like the newly registered users group. It can catch these certain words. So if those words appear, then that person isn't allowed to, post without some sort of approval, or they're automatically, who knows.
I've always hated those writing those blacklists, because it's like, I don't want to write the words that I don't want to see. I know there's a blacklist where I can, get all the seven words, the bleeped words, and all that other stuff. But I don't want to write those words. There's a reason I'm getting rid of them. Don't make me write them.
It actually is for somebody who never ever says or types it. It's really strange to actually have to type it.
Yeah,
blacklist.
Maybe PHPBB should include some built in.
But I, you know, as far as
the code, that would be awkward.
Yes, that would be. So the blacklists that I'm talking about to catch spammers wouldn't necessarily be like the seven bleep words. They would be something like, Viagra and Cialis and Nokia and World of Warcraft Gold and those sorts of things, the common spam terms. It's that sort of things that you want to catch and that you want to deactivate users on.
Yeah.
The other really useful thing out there is stopforumspam.com, which has an API where you can link in to it with your registration, and if a known spammer registers on your board, it's going to appear in the Stop Forum Spam list, and it, you know, it can automatically block it. So then, nice. I mean, at that point, you could almost deactivate your CAPTCHA. Almost, I say almost.
Stopforumspam.org?
Stopforumspam.com should be.
Oh, okay. .org wasn't working.
Yeah, okay. It should be .com. And thank actually, you. There has, I think, if I remember correctly, Empty the Ackle actually created a mod that worked with Stopforumspam. And I'm fairly certain he did. So, but take a look at it. We actually have it, you know, of course, we have the topic on Star Trek Guide that lists a whole bunch of spam prevention mods. And so people should take a look at that if they're having trouble with spam. 3.0.6 will make it a lot easier. It will also make it easier for mods with the fact that the newly registered users group, there's so much you can do with that group if you're a mod author. That will really, really help prevent spam. And then I would encourage people to switch back to a, you know, if that works out, switch back to a CAPTCHA that becomes easily readable, because the new GD CAPTCHA within PHBB3, it's not good. It's not readable. It's grandma can't solve that CAPTCHA, you know, and it needs to be solvable by everybody. And then the other thing is that you have some CAPTCHAs which are inaccessible. Like, you know, most of the CAPTCHAs within the CAPTCHA competition, if they were to be submitted to Salona, we couldn't solve them for mm-hmm. people. So that's kind of tough. But
no, David, I think I know of a guest we should bring on. Apparently, based on a lot of the times things we talk about CAPTCHAs on here, it seems that you use your grandma a lot to verify the ability to review CAPTCHAs. I think you should invite your grandma on the show.
Oh, that would be funny.
Okay. So, wow, how did we get back into that one?
Well, everything, okay, so
everything wraps around CAPTCHAs now. They're taking over the internet. They're taking over our show. The Support Toolkit RC3 is that's certainly great for anyone who's gonna try to, you know, help dig other boards out of. I mean, and I just got to say to the people, both the support team members and to the people who just give their time to help dig other users out of problems on their boards. More power to you. I couldn't imagine having to deal with users like that so frequently. I would go crazy. I would go insane. So good for you guys for those of you who take care, who do all that. So, and I guess this is probably the new thing that came out on Sunday is.
The ModX creator.
The ModX creator. Now, I was told that some people in IRC said this wasn't actually new.
Not new.
But it's now. I think we can count it as new because this is actually. It was developed by a user named Jari.
Jari is that's Tumba on the mod team.
Oh, okay.
Tumba 25 on the mod team. And he had it. Yeah, he had it on his own site. And so basically, they brought it over to phbb.com and Greenweaver. Whose real name is Caesar. Caesar Salad, no, okay.
He said it, I didn't. David Fong.
So,
going to have a lawsuit before the show is over, David.
He styled it to fit on phbb.com so that it does fit. Now, this is a great tool. yeah, I'm really sad to say the fact that it took this long to actually get a good tool on v.com. But it's there now. That's the important thing.
So let's take a look at this sucker. You can import a file, which I call it mod text, which I guess means text template or
because it will
modx file.
We'll convert your text template over to a modx or try.
Then I was trying to see what these little buttons. Oh, I see. There's for all these things, because there's like about sections. So you have title, description, mod version, PHBBB version, all that stuff. But there actually is little plus buttons so that if you want to specify multiple languages, you obviously have to have English, for PHBBB.com's sake, but you can add additional fields and use additional languages so you can have easily generate a multilingual ModX file.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem to recall that, you know, that with Mod X now, it's such that there's like a, is it still such where there's a little pop-up menu that allows the user to choose a language so that they can actually distribute a single Mod X file with multiple languages embedded?
That's correct, yes.
That's how it is now? Okay.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've dealt with Mod X. The mod version, the little hover things that'll tell you how you have to specify it. Installation level, installation time. The GPL version 2 is the default, but you can change it. Author notes. Username. This one I really liked. They actually have the option so that if your username is not a phpbb.com username, you can use that now. I found that kind of interesting because the original specification always said that your username had to be a phpbb.com username, at least as far as, you know, phpbb mod team considered. So I kind of like that they are now have this option so you can specify a non-phpbb.com username.
Yeah, and it's, you know, this is important, for example, like Handyman, who goes by the username Handyman, yet he can't use that username on phpbb.com. So, you know, on phpbb.com, he's registered as Handyman with a tilde, yeah. But here he would just specify Handyman. So now, yeah, you can actually specify a username, which is great.
Absolutely. I like, because I hadn't noticed that this before, you can, for each author, you can also add contribution. So mm-hmm. you can indicate if they are a current contributor or a past contributor, what mm-hmm. their sort of position was and when they started and ended. Is this actually part of the ModX spec?
Yes, it is. It's been part of the ModX spec for quite a while, but people have very, very rarely used it because creating a ModX used to be a pretty painful process.
Yeah.
Of course, on Star Trek Guide, we have a good ModX generator.
Is that as good as this one?
No, it's not quite as good as this one, but it was useful, at least.
Kill it and use this one.
It existed, right? Yeah, but definitely this one is very, very useful, and glad to see this one working now.
Oh, this is really nice. Unlimited authors, I guess, is nice. I was around when back in the day when there was actually... in 2005, they made it so you can have multiple mod authors, but back in the day, you could have mod author... And then the X line could be like mod author, comma secondary, and that's about it. So you really had a maximum of two, and there was no way you could do this contribution stuff. In like 2005 is when they made changes to the text template to make it so you can have multiple mod authors. That was like the big thing there,
mm-hmm.
along with some changes to the security disclaimer. So goes to show how old I am around here. History now. This is really nice because history has always been kind of fun. You know, during the text template, there was like a gazillion ways that people could format history. And there's another debate. Like for me, I was so detailed because I'm a very detail oriented person. And so my history ended up being like three times as long as the actual code changes needed. And this is in the PHP maybe 2 days when you needed code changes. So, and your version, enter the date. It would be nice if they gave you a method, info on how you actually should format the date, but oh well. And enter the change, again, multiple languages, which is quite nice. So, very nifty.
So this really should be using the, it's using Scriptaculous and Prototype.
Ah, yeah.
So I was thinking of No, it's using jQuery also, or at least jQuery is included. Mm-hmm. So Scriptaculous, Prototype, and jQuery is included. Whew. Okay. Well, and the reason that I bring this up is because the jQuery UI has a date field, and that really should be what's used there because, you know, how do people know how exactly they're supposed to format the date? They don't know. So
yeah, that should be fixed because since ModX is no XML, it's got to have a preferred format for date.
Yeah, unless it converts it. Once you submit it, then it, you know, may be able to convert it in most types of formats. There are PHP functions that will basically convert it in most types of formats that you would write it in into an actual date format. Mm-hmm. But it would be better if they did specify exactly how to format the date.
Yeah, this is something maybe has existed I haven't known about, but there's links.
Yeah, so links. That's your specific file to a specific,
file copy and SQL query, but there's also add link.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Add link is, yeah, that's a new one. That is within it was actually developed along with the AutoMod. Okay. And what this does is basically you can specify a file that and now, traditionally, it would be like another modx file because, you know, you have different kind of modx language file, for example, or a temp. You know, you might have different template files because the main modx, that's going to deal with only ProSilver. Then you might have a SubSilver 2 modx file. You might have a Glacier modx file. That's a PHP 3 style. So you might have these various modx files that you can now link to. And what happens now is in an auto mod, which automatically installs mods using the modx file, it will follow those links to know which one you want to install and exactly how. So the links were added for that purpose.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of nice. SQL queries, it's again good. You can actually you can choose between what the preferred DBMS, but I think it's probably desired that you just go with the SQL parser because that way you can have compatibility with everything.
Yeah, and most people aren't going to take the time to write out different SQL for all the different MySQL type, or you know, all the different SQL types, including yeah. even the MySQL, MySQL 4, 4.1, MySQLi.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to usually spend all the time it takes to write all the different queries. So usually they just use the SQL parser.
And for Pete's sake, the majority of queries are identical between all of these. So probably used by the
Oracle.
Huh?
Oracle's pretty different.
Yeah, but THPB knows how to fix that, doesn't it?
Well, it doesn't take MySQL syntax and convert it to Oracle syntax by default.
Oh.
You know, and that's why we have the database abstraction layer.
Exactly, that's what I meant.
Your basic initial queries are going to be fine, but like your database structures, you know, your structure queries, those are going to be very, very dramatically different.
Like create table, alter table?
Yes, exactly. That's the kind of stuff. Even create triggers are very different. Insert, selects, those are pretty mostly selects, I should say, are fairly similar.
So that's a bigger issue here, because like when mod authors are actually writing code, in the code they'll likely only be doing inserts and selects and things like that and updates.
Right, but this is where people would create tables. Yeah. And indexes or additional columns or that sort of thing. So that's why, it won't just take MySQL and make it available for everything. People have had to do that in the past where it's like, okay, a mod author creates a MySQL syntax create table or alter table. And if you had an Oracle database, you had to modify it so that it would work on your Oracle database. Fortunately, most people do run on MySQL, and most people write in MySQL, so that hasn't been that much of an issue anyways. But the SQL parser, now I don't really know exactly what that is or what it does. I would be curious to find out from somebody from the mod team who's actually involved in it what that does. And solving a CAPTCHA. Done. See? That was quick.
I am looking at this, like, when you get into file edits is where it can get a little bit more complicated mm-hmm. because you can't just go to this and say, all right, I can automatically make a mod without actually having some background on the different actions. So you got to be able to figure out, you know, when you're adding a file, you specify the file to open. You should still remember. I mean, look, hovering over the little infos is helpful. But you still need to remember that how you specify the file in terms of doing the path the right way. You still have to do the find. You can't just have a single edit being. You can't just have one edit of an after add. You still have to do the find and then the after add, or else the find, then the inline find, then the inline after add. People are obviously going to need to want to know ahead of time what the operation action is before they actually do it. That was the other thing. I remember when the operation was actually added. That I remember as a thing you can do, because that is a complicated thing. And back when it was in the text template, there was a lot of questions about, you know, just trying to understand how the heck you use operation. And it's, you know, it's for like if you need to increase a number. It's in a way almost like a regex type of thing where you can't specify a particular number that you want to increase because the number could have been increased by other mods. So you really do need to still kind of have an idea of how these things work. Because you're still in a way building. It's like building. It's a lot more like building the text template file than it is with building a modx file. In terms of how it presents itself, the benefit being that in a text template file, you had to remember how to use the correct number of dashes and pound signs, or hash signs for all those people who are going to yell at me. but so don't just go on this and. It will take a little bit to figure out sort of what each of the little icons does, though admittedly icons is better than what you would be otherwise.
Yeah, I got to be honest, though. You know, on the operation, I was asked to use operation on which mod was it? There was the Memberlist avatar mod. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that was the one where it was adding an additional column. And so you had to increase the... increase the
number of columns.
The number of columns, okay? So you would use operation,
yep.
You know, plus one in the normal operation style.
Very commonly used in template edits.
Yeah, but the problem that I found was that I got flooded with support queries on that. And it was just so much easier to say, just replace it with three or whatever.
How the heck do you use the do this operation thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody knows how to use it, and so just telling them, basically giving that kind of instruction was terrible. However, it works great in AutoMod.
It works great in AutoMod, and of course, because if you didn't, then you'd have a gazillion people who say that doesn't work there because they've already modified that number. If you did it the old find and replace method, right?
Right, exactly. So that could be an issue. So, within operation, as long as they're using AutoMod, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if they're doing it manually, it's a support headache. Although, and I have to think about it. I'm going back and I'm trying to remember. Okay, well, so all the
people. When you're developing mods, there's a lot of sort of ways to do it, such as partial finds.
Right.
One of the best ways that you can avoid conflicts is to do partial find. But then all the time, if you're doing like a partial find at the beginning of a line, and then you do an inline find, you'll have a gazillion people saying, what the heck, the inline find isn't what was in the stuff you told me to find. No, we're supposed to do the inline find in the same line. So that was why, on my text template mods, I always commented the heck out of those things so that for the people who were obviously going to be lazy, try to make it very clear, this is a partial line next to find, and then inline find. Find this within the line of the find you just did, and, this and this and this and this. And so there's a bunch of very subtle things that you have to sort of make a note about. Like, for example, a proper mod always does its finds in order from top to bottom of the file, and that's how AutoMod will process it. So most users who are installing manually wouldn't think of it like that because, you can just use the find and replace thing in your text editor. So,
yeah, and I have to say that since AutoMod has really been released and became popular, I have not had to deal with that support question since, at least not much. So that has been good.
Well, ModX gives a real incentive to use AutoMod instead of, doing an edit.
Man. Yeah, exactly. And, that's, XML, like Mike Sievertson said, that's acid burn. He said, you know, basically ModX is not a human readable language. Let's not make the humans have to read it or write it. And so
it's more human readable than PHP.
Well, yeah,
I think it is.
You know, but PHP is not a human readable language either.
It's code.
You know, and people really shouldn't have to deal with that when they're installing mods and stuff. So
yeah.
So it, you know, between the ModX creator and AutoMod and UMIL, I think PHPB is at a point where any mod author could come with no experience with any of these languages and be able to create a mod very easily and have it easily installed. With all the tools that now are available, finally, it takes a long time to get to this place, but yeah, we're finally here.
That's true. ModX may have been about a few years premature, but no. Because we've had ModX around since 2006. They first started getting feedback on it in 2005, and then here we are now. Finally, we have sort of the last missing piece. And that's, at this point, the hardest part of, you know, getting the mod in the correct format is making sure you have all the files correctly done in the zip directory. Make sure you, in addition to getting the ModX file in the right place, you also have the XSL and you have the GPL license included. So. That's the hardest part now.
Yeah, it is. But of course, there's the you know, mod validation process that's automatic, which is great. So
we're finally getting there.
We're stepping closer. You know, like I said, it seems to take us a long time to get anywhere. But I think we're finally at the point now where you know, I can't. And when I think about it, I'm like, you know, what are we still missing? I can't think of what they're missing as far as mods are concerned. If, you know, tools.
Auto install, the ability to browse the mod database directly from the PHPBB admin control panel, click a button, have it be installed automatically.
Oh, please.
I'm not.
But you're probably right.
WordPress can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, in its defense, it uses plugins, not XML, so it's a little.
And I don't know if you've looked at the code much for WordPress.
Oh, I have, actually. I know the code for WordPress is not as good. I use WordPress for the interface, not for the code.
Yeah,
Whenever I develop sites with WordPress, I'm usually developing it for non-geeks.
Yeah,
people,
you know,
need to be able to figure out how to use it, not how to code it.
Yeah, now WordPress was an excellent and is an excellent idea that was programmed extremely poorly.
Exactly.
And
it was programmed poorly, but in its defense, I really like its plugin architecture. I think that is fairly nice. I mean,
yes, and I hate its MVC. Its MVC is the worst.
Well, what's MVC?
Model View Controller. Okay, you have the model is your let me step back a little bit. The model is your database content. Okay. Then you have the controller, which takes your model, your database content, and delivers it to the view. The view is your HTML, your HTML templates. All three of these are supposed to be separated. That means basically your controller shouldn't have any view in it and shouldn't have any model in it. That means it should not have any data in the controller. Your view shouldn't have any of the controller or the model in it. Uh-huh. So model view controller is where you separate the three. You separate data from a controller from the template.
Yeah.
In WordPress, everything is, when you look at the WordPress templates, it's Jumbled. Like, well, you know, what's the whole point of the templates? They're just integrating all this PHP into these templates, and in its defense, it's not smart. It's smarty, you have a problem where you have to learn a whole new syntax to be able to write in Smarty, which is an actual MVC.
Mm-hmm.
But in WordPress, you still have to know PHP to be a template designer.
Yeah. I know. Although, in defense, for people like me who do know some basic PHP, it makes it very easy to do very dirty hacking in WordPress templates.
Mm-hmm.
I can do a lot of dirty, unorthodox hacks.
Yeah, so I imagine so.
I say the word dirty for a reason. Although, because, but I mean, it's serious. If I want to do that kind of hacks in PHP BB, in version 3, it's better. But in version 2, I would have had to edit at least 3 different files to make to add one thing to the template. One to have the language variable. One to specify and assign it in the original PHP file, and then finally the third to get that edit in the template with the template var referencing what I just did in the PHP files. And WordPress, I can just hack right there. Not that that's good programming.
No, it's not. It's not really bad, but
it's not. But it works.
Yeah. Well, you can still do that within PHPBB, but it's just as bad.
Yeah.
We just don't allow it. That's the difference.
Of course, yeah. I do like for WordPress the plugins where I can literally have a single file with functions, or actually now that I'm learning OOP, classes and functions, and then just add a little add action function at the bottom that says where I want WordPress to execute my function, and then I can just be able to turn the plugin on in the admin panel, and that has to work. I never have to touch WordPress core files.
So yeah.
The only time I do have to look at WordPress core files at times because their function reference is not fully up to date.
Mm-hmm.
But so sometimes I have to look at the source, figure out how its own built-in functions work, and their functions, are very. Their functions are they're useful, but not the most intuitive. But I do like their plugin system, and I like it when PHPBB is moving slowly towards that with its modules and with the CAPTCHA plugin system. And I like seeing PHPBB move a little bit closer to having that where you can really be able to implement functionality in ways that are more plug and play and involve less core file editing.
Yeah, some trivia for you. With WordPress, 4 out of the last 5 releases for WordPress have been security updates.
Yep.
Security is a big issue within WordPress, and this underscores why correct coding is so important. And with PHPBB 3, of course, they have the database abstraction layer that, when used properly, you're not going to have SQL injection issues. You have the XSRF protection, XSS protection. Obviously, they're not using HTML, so they don't even have to deal with that headache at all with posting. So the PHPBB 3 code is a lot more secure. Of course, you have the request var. WordPress has had a lot of issues because they don't have a request var. They're importing this straight from whatever. They're pulling in data, how it's exactly being typed in, and that's bad. There's no sanitation going on. So most of the fixes have been basically sanitization related. It's like, okay, we have to go sanitize that and then to then release it as a security update. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a big issue.
Yeah. The database class has a little bit of variable escaping included, but it's still there's still quite a bit of you still have to do some variable sanitization on the on your own end.
And you remember the huge security issues that came with PHPBB 2 that were part of PHPBB 2. Yes. You had from the Santi worm, and
talk about that next week.
Yes, and things like that. So how that benefited the PHPBB project is it became security aware.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's going to happen with WordPress is these security issues that are happening now, the next huge version that they're creating that's basically going to be a rewrite, they're going to be security aware. The problem is that they weren't security aware before. But that sort of thing, although it tainted PHPBB's history, it really benefited the project in the long run, because now we're not going to make those same mistakes again.
There you go. The online ModX creator, it looks really good. I saw between this, UMIL, and AutoMod, I've almost considered, and the fact that I'm now understanding OOP, personally, I'm if I had time and ideas, I would start modding for PHPBB again. But I don't know if I have the time.
Yeah, that's tough.
Or the ideas. But maybe we'll see. Maybe next summer we will do a help make Douglas mod something contest. Have a competition of ideas, and people can vote on what I have to write. And then, of course, it's going to the. I'm sure the winner will be make him rewrite PHPBB. Oh boy, that would be weird. And actually, the ModX creator is open source. You can download it and install it on your own server. So you know, David, when you guys are rewriting your mod manager, why invent the wheel? You can just take this and integrate it into your new mod manager.
Probably yes. So that would save a lot of time to do that.
You know, your mod manager will do a lot more than just creating ModX files, but you can that's the thing of open source. Don't reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, exactly.
Steal someone else's cheese and put it in your sandwich.
Of course.
That was a weird analogy right there.
It's not stealing if you are if you are crediting.
Exactly.
The person for the what they've created, and that's the whole idea behind the GPL. Exactly. Although it's freely distributed, if you redistribute it, then you have to distribute the source code, but you do have to maintain credit, and that's important. They developed it and you're using it. Well, might as well give them credit. So that's good.
For using speech, maybe if in beer. moving on. You see, David, I tell you, this is how we have long shows.
Yep.
When we are working together, we have a remarkable ability to take conversation to the nth degree.
must be a talent.
I don't know if it's a talent or not. Talent. Our PHPBB weekly poll question. It's probably going to be the last one we're going to do because I'm getting kind of tired of having to come up with ideas for them. We're not getting as much interest in them, and Poll Daddy is starting to be a big, pain in the behind. I think we're going to stop doing them. But we should cover the last one we did. This was right after the blog post about the mod validation process. So our poll question was, if you were to add a step to the mod validation workflow, what would it be? Well, David, your suggestion was on the show was to remove a step, but no one voted for that. I'm surprised. I guess there's not enough steps in there. We need to add more steps, huh?
It's hard to remember to keep voting. Hey, where is that? You took the poll down?
I had to make it a link because the JavaScript embed stopped working with our theme on the site.
Okay, that's suckage.
It's another reason I stopped doing it, because now we can't get it on the site anymore. So
yeah.
Two votes, 33%, to trademark every single term used in the validation process. I think that was the show where we were commenting on how instant deny is trademarks, and we were just saying trademark for everything.
I like this one, the next one you're going
to
say.
Three meal vouchers for every day a mod has to wait in the queue.
Oh.
After all, the mod has to sit there, is waiting to get out into the wild. Shouldn't it be fed? One vote for that one. One vote for building a memorial grave site for every mod that gets denied. Because it's if we killed it, right? We need to have a memorial. The mod had a good life. This was my favorite one. I voted for this one. A betting ring where the validators place bets on which mods will and won't get approved.
Yeah, I like that one too. I didn't vote for this one, but I would have voted for that one.
I mean, after all, that you guys have MEAL. it can give you a pretty – if it's not insta-denied, you can kind of have an idea of if it's going to deny or get approved. The mod validators should get rich, right?
The mod validators find some pretty fascinating things within all mods.
Yeah.
So it's always kind of fun to go look through and go, wow, what were they thinking here? What kind of – that's a new security issue. We do find a lot of security issues.
Yeah. I was also surprised. I think there were no mod validators voting in this poll because this one also got zero votes, taking a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the mod validators love their job so much – but they don't want to remove a step from the process.
And they don't want to take a vacation. Yes.
There have some very, very dedicated mod validators or some very ignorant mod validators in that they're not paying attention. Oh, I am so in trouble with this show. Oh, speaking of that, let's go over to our mod of the week. This is a big mod for this one. It is, let me get the link here. PHP BB Gallery by Nick Vergeson. This is the probably the first big gallery mod we talked about in almost 100 episodes. The last one we talked about was actually one that I believe Handyman was working on, but I don't know if it ever got out of the mod's development form, because that's what we, because I wasn't there then. You covered it.
Yeah.
It never got out of it.
Yeah, he just worked on it, barely, and then he hasn't been able to finish it. And I think his priorities have been elsewhere. So this is good to see. It is important to note that this mod was in the top five of both the most active and most viewed development mods on phpbb.com. Top five.
Yeah.
Of all time for PHPBB3, most viewed and most active.
So let's take a look. Now, David, I told you that if you showed up, we wouldn't be reading change logs, but I didn't say anything about feature lists.
Oh, no.
This thing is huge.
Do not read this feature list.
I'll summarize it. But this is a full gallery integrated into PHPBB so that users can have personal galleries with links to it throughout PHPBB. Unlimited sub albums, permissions control over the albums, different album types, there's categories, albums, they even have contests built in, contest albums, control over ones that are open and are not, and it supports all kinds of different, supports GIF, JPEG, and PNG, control over image sizes, file sizes, resizing of images, GD powered thumbnails, subfolders, show boxes, light boxes, sets of add-ons and translations that you can add onto this sucker, hot link preventions. So if you don't know what image hot linking is, you can Google it, because we're not going to spend time talking about it right now, right, David? EXIF data support, again, Google it. Watermark support, even report functions. BB codes, custom BB codes, favorite images, notifications with mail and Jabber support. I am only summarizing this. Statistics in the admin control panel, mass imports. It has support for the TS gallery by Visible Thunder for PHPBB3 and a SmartTours album mod for PHPBB2, which is probably one of the best image galleries for PHPBB2. Contest support.
I cannot believe you're summarizing this. No, the summary itself is huge.
I mean, this is cool. Contests. You get with time periods, time when people can upload images, or times when people can actually vote but not upload images, and then the end of contests, this is who gets to win. This is insane. It's really cool. Every photograph or photography-oriented forum out there has to have this mod. Calling it a mod is almost it's only because it does connect to PHPBB. This thing is practically a system.
Yes, it is. I think it'd be classified. I mean, as long as it is can be basically almost a standalone, but it'll have basic integration. It wouldn't even need the same license as PHPBB. It's so separated.
Practically, although because
some parts.
Nick Ferguson is a junior developer. I think, is that recent? Because I thought.
Yeah, well, he's been a junior developer for a while now, and he's done a lot.
I mean, this is almost. I'm almost thinking of Acid Burn, whose big project before he became a developer for PHPBB was the attachment mod for PHPBB2, which was a huge mod and very popular then. This is really on that level. On par with that. It's been released. It's been validated. I love to know who validated this thing on the mod team.
But it took almost everyone there. It's big.
Very big. This is probably the biggest mod they've had to deal with since Categories Hierarchy. And that one
You're
was
probably right.
That was an infamous for how much validation went into that one. Because I was around then. It was like, hey, Eric, all yours. Have fun. See you.
And
in
then
2 months.
He didn't do it though.
No, he did. You're looking at.
He did. Okay, because you know they released it without actually validating it.
That was during the Nazi era. The later version of the categories hierarchy did get validated, and in fact, a few of those later got validated. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the version of the categories hierarchy that was practically a rewrite of PHP BB2, those got validated.
Yeah, Eric was probably relieved to move on from
to
PHP BB3.
We had to validate those a couple of times because every time there was a new version.
Insane.
Whatever, I did not take part in that because I was...
So that's the gallery.
PHP BB Gallery by Nick Vergeson. Awesome mod. Supports for GrowSilver, SubSilver 2. Multiple languages. It has its own bug tracker. And of course, I never usually say this for mods, but this description, if you like the mod, you can donate to him on PayPal. I think he deserves it. I don't know.
Developers really need to be reimbursed for a lot of the time that they spend developing on the software that we use for free. So it does. It definitely helps. I can say as a mod author, it definitely helps if people do donate to those mod authors that create those.
Yeah, so
it helps a lot.
I don't know how we're gonna follow from that, David, but the style of the week is all yours.
Okay, style of the week. This week is. Called Guild Wars Alliance. Now, I'm not personally a Guild Wars fan, but this style I could not pass up as doing for Style of the Week. Quite a unique style. I mean, really taking the look to a whole new level. I mean, not just changing colors of default Pro Silver or Sub Silver 2, but really making it look completely unique, completely different. It's got really nice icons that are like that, they're like the pill bubbles that are really cool looking. And nice color scheme. It just flows really, really well together. Nice header, well done. Graphics all the way around. Really well done graphics. And to describe it, I would say, you know, the color scheme is basically like a... I wouldn't call it a sea green. It's like a forest, not even quite like a forest green. It's like subdued grays of green, I would think. You know, that's probably the closest. It's very earth tones, I guess, you know, between the green and the browns and stuff like that. Very pleasant on the eyes, even though it's a dark theme. I'm not a huge fan of dark themes, but for a dark theme, this really, really works well. And this is... So it's Guild Wars Alliance by Daniel S.T. Jules?
St. Jules.
St. Jules. Okay, Daniel St. Jules.
There you go.
And so there it is. PHP V3 version 3.0.4. Hopefully they will update that to more recent versions, but definitely definitely worth checking out.
None too shabby. All right. That's it for our show today. Check out our website, phpbbweekly.net, for show notes, links of everything we talked about on this show. You can find all our past episodes there as well. We are live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1800 UTC time. You can join us live at phpbbweekly.net/live. And speaking of which, David, we do need to update our banner because it still says 12 p.m. Can we do that sometime?
Of course, yes.
Because you still have the PSDs on that, so you have to do it. Our PHP Weekly forum is at StarTrekGuide.com, the PHP Weekly podcast forum. Kind of slow. Maybe we're going to try to come up with some ideas to get that moving again very soon. But it should be good. Our next episode will be next Saturday, November 14th, the same at 1 p.m. 1800 UTC. Adam Ryer, support team member, will be joining us on the show. It's been a month or two since we had Adam on, so it'd be great to have him back. We're going to be taking a look at a little event that happened, an infamous event, happened 5 years ago.
That changed PHPBB's history forever.
Or, at the very least, not in a good way. Though there are some things we can learn from it. There's some morals of the story. So it's we'll have an interesting discussion, you know, take a look at it, you know, mark 5 years, see what things have happened since then, and it will be nameless until you see it on the description on our site soon. So that will be there. And that's it for this episode of PHP Weekly. I am Douglas Bell.
And I am David Lewis from Washington State.
Okay, thank you, David
Lewis. It's part of my name.
Thank you, David Lewis from Washington State. Mr. Washington from State, whatever. Thanks for listening. Remember, a successful community begins with you, tag.
You're it.
See you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.